I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Saturday, November 19th. The midterms are now behind us, but they brought up some pretty divisive issues in American society. And with Thanksgiving coming up, we want to discuss how to make sure political divisions don't divide family and friends. So today, you will hear advice from Sarah Stewart Holland and Beth Silvers. They are the hosts of the popular podcast, Pantsuit Politics, where they have graceful conversations to help people understand politics while still treating each other like thoughtful human beings. And they've written two books to establish some basic rules of engagement, even when the people talking have vastly different viewpoints. Their latest book is called Now What? How to Move Forward When We're Divided About Basically Everything. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Sarah and Beth, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having us. It's always fun to be here.
So Beth, first, help us understand why it is so easy to get riled up and even angry when we are talking about politics.
Well, we're never just talking about politics, right? We are in relationship with the people that we're talking with usually, and there are dynamics in those relationships. And sometimes politics are a really convenient way to get into those dynamics without actually talking about what needs to be discussed. But also, politics have become a real reflection of what our vision for the world is, of what we think our values are. It is one of the easiest identifiers we have to kind of announce our place in things. And so we take it extremely personally. And most of the examples that we have of discussing it in media are very heated. And it's easy to fall into the patterns of all of that content we're consuming, too.
Yeah, it's part of your value, your identity. Sarah, you both mentioned in the book that you used to talk about it as if it was a team jersey. You know, what political side are you on? And now it's more like a tattoo. What do you mean by that?
Well, in our first book, we used the metaphor of team jerseys and like, can't we just take off our jersey? But I think politics has become so identity driven that we realized by our second book, a better metaphor might be tattoos because they're very imprinted. You know, tattoos are permanent in their way. You can have them removed, but it's a lot of work. It's very expensive. And you can ask anybody who's changed their party affiliation recently, if that metaphor holds, that it takes a lot of time and it has a cost associated because it infuses everything, our shopping, our religion. It's all of this, our race, ethnicity, all of that is sort of intermingled and enmeshed with our partisan identity.
It's in the kind of subtitle of your book that you acknowledge that it seems like we as a nation disagree about pretty much everything. Are we actually more divided now compared to years or decades past?
I don't think we're more divided now, but I think we project that division onto more things than maybe we have in the past, and we certainly have more opportunities to express it. I will say, to our tattoo metaphor, I hope that that is starting to ease. I'm encouraged by all the split ticket voting that we saw in this midterm election. So I don't want to describe this as though it's a static phenomenon. Maybe we're all getting a little tired of it being so close to us. I hope so.
And the thing we always say is there's no stasis in American politics. Nothing stays the same.
We are just a few days away from Thanksgiving. And for some people, that means getting together with family members or friends who may have different political opinions as they do. So what is your main advice about how to approach that situation so it doesn't end up in fighting and yelling and the end of a relationship that you care about?
The tried and true advice we have for people is to remember why you are gathered in the first place. It is not to draft legislation. It is not to endorse candidates. It is not to persuade each other to change everything about how you see the world. It is to connect with each other. And so instead of trying to win the argument on whatever has come up, or even just survive it, which is kind of the other extreme that we see, people really disengage. They just try to get through it, not say anything, bite their tongues, agree to disagree. What we advocate for is how can this conversation be an opportunity to get to know the people you're sharing the table with better and to get to know yourself better? So asking questions, asking new questions that don't come up often in these conversations. Like if you're fighting about crime or immigration, you know, say something like, I wonder what personal experiences we have with this that are impacting how we see it. Or I wonder how we all grew up in this house together and we have such different perceptions of what's going on right now. And just trying to unearth something new about the people in the room instead of trying to solve everything going on outside the room.
Well, and I think it's also just really important to remember that it's an emotionally fraught gathering when you bring all those humans with history and experiences and statuses within the family together. And when we're in our emotional brains, it's very hard to sort of reason logically. And so the idea that we're going to sit down and have a policy debate is probably too high of an expectation. And so that's why we say, like, let's just lower them. Instead of trying to convince each other, let's just get curious about one another. Because there is an aspect of people want to talk about these things because they want to feel seen, they want to feel heard, but so does the other person across from you. And whether that's your sister or your cousin's new boyfriend, right? And just keeping that curiosity center as we're gathering can really help bring the temperature down.
Do you think it matters whether you're talking to a loved one that you know really well or an acquaintance or even a stranger? And does your advice change at all?
Yes, absolutely. In our second book, Now What, we break apart those levels of connection. We start with the people closest to us and we talk about parents and we talk about extended family and friends. We move out a little bit. We talk about coworkers, people in our communities. We talk about the people we're connected to across our nation, who we just share the title of citizenship with, even people across the globe, because that does matter. The level of connection, the level of history, the level of communication even between those different people really affects how you're going to talk about politics. And sort of unpacking some of that can really help the conversation go more smoothly.
And just for, again, more tangible steps, if the topics get brought up, what should be your first thought?
I think it depends on how the topic is brought up. But if someone says something really incendiary and you are with a group of people, some of whom know each other well and someone who is new, you can walk into that setting with your voice and say, I just want to hit pause for a second and acknowledge that we have a new person at the table. Maybe we should tell this person a little bit about our family history before we dive into politics and give them a sense of who we are and where we're coming from. It's hard to come in fresh. And every opportunity that you have to just narrate what's going on can help. Oh, it's getting a little bit tense right now. I know we have strong feelings about this. How about we go get dessert and then we can pick it up again? Anything that you can do to describe the dynamics in the room will usually lower the temperature around those dynamics.
Do you suggest kind of preparing beforehand? Because it can probably be hard to stay that calm in the moment.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think what helps me stay calm in the moment is before I go in to a family gathering or even just a social gathering, as much as I can thinking, okay, what's shifted and changed here? I would have done myself a lot of favors around family dynamics if I thought, wait, this is the first time entering this space as a mom. Like when my first son was born, what does that change for me? I'm feeling very vulnerable. I'm feeling like other people take different parenting approaches than I do. I know people are like, well, what does that have to do with politics? Everything. When you're coming into a space and there's been some status change, maybe you wanted to be at your family's gathering, but you're not. You're at like an in-laws gathering. Or maybe there's somebody coming in new and they're feeling vulnerable because they don't know anybody there. Like before you get there, if you can just sort of think through that so you have the narration in your mind, not just what's happening in the moment, but what's happened leading us all up together to this space, I think that can give us that beat. We just need a beat where we respond instead of react.
The other preparation that you might do is think about some current events that aren't super partisan. We might want to talk about the fact that we finally got that Artemis rocket launched, or what's going on with the town council race. You know, something that you know will allow people to do a lot of what we're trying to do when we talk about politics. We sound informed. We show that we're intelligent. We work out some of our opinions, but some things that are a little bit less controversial, put those on your list. And then also maybe just prepare with some questions that help you pivot in a conversation. If somebody's getting really worked up, it's interesting to see what happens when you say, "You seem really passionate about this. Have you ever thought about running for office? What kind of office would you like to run for if this is what really lights your fire?"
So how do we talk to each other, even if we can't agree on what's a fact and what's a lie? And if talking about politics is uncomfortable, what's a good way to shift the conversation in another direction? Beth and Sarah have some tried and true methods. And why does all of this matter? That's just ahead. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsors. The Newsworthy is brought to you by Indeed. Whether it's journalists working on a big story or engineers innovating the next big tech trend, if you're looking to build a team that shapes headlines in your industry, you need a hiring partner to help you find top talent fast. You need Indeed. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Indeed Assessments alone, you can pick from over 100 skills tests and add them right there on your job post. And Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/newsworthy to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/newsworthy. Indeed.com/newsworthy. Terms and conditions apply. And thanks to our other sponsor, KiwiCo. This is the first holiday season that my son will be old enough to engage with us and really enjoy the season with us. And so when I'm thinking about what gifts to give him or the other kids in our extended family, I love knowing that KiwiCo always sparks fun and excitement for kids of all ages every time. KiwiCo delivers super cool science, technology, and art projects for kids. And it's truly unique to each kid. They have 9 different subscription lines for different ages and categories. My 1-year-old's experience so far with KiwiCo has been so positive that I bought my 5-year-old niece a 3-month subscription last holiday season, and I'm so excited to do it again because I heard all about how much she loved it. Plus, I really appreciate knowing KiwiCo uses high-quality materials. And there's no commitment, so you can pause or cancel your subscription anytime. Give awesome this holiday with KiwiCo. And listen up, because you can get your first month free on any crate line at kiwico.com/newsworthy. That's your first month free at kiwico.com, kiwico.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to our conversation. How do you have a graceful conversation if you and the person you're talking to can't agree on what is fact and what is a lie?
I think it's more interesting to figure out how you got there than to try to debunk each other. So what is it about that source that you really trust? What is it about this one that you don't? Are there specific writers at this paper that you think are problematic, or is it the whole paper? How did you get there? Who would you trust if they gave you a contrary piece of information to what you're telling me right now?
And I think as much as we can, mentally and emotionally, we have to detach the untrustworthy news source from the person in front of us. We all have people in our lives who hold political opinions. And the reason we struggle with them is they feel so detached from the person we know, right? Like the person is kind and considerate, and all of a sudden they're espousing something and you're like, wait, what? Where did that come from? And I think it's tempting to let our feelings about the news sources infect the feelings about the person. And as much as you can, letting the person just sit as their full human self in front of you. And again, not trying to shame. Nobody is convinced by shame. Nobody is convinced by disdain. That's not how you change anybody's mind. And I think having that curiosity, having how did you get here? Let me tell you about why I pick the news sources I do. It's not this mindless choice. I really think about it. And here's what I think about XYZ. Your show would be a great thing to talk about, Erica, to say like, well, this is where I listen to this really great podcast called The Newsworthy. Let me tell you about it, because it's neutral, right? Like it doesn't come with the baggage that some of the national media sources come with. And sort of opening up a new avenue of conversation is really helpful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. And I like that idea, whether it's the newsworthy or something else. What do you say to people who say, oh, I just completely avoid bringing that up or talking about politics at all? Is that a good strategy?
I mean, I don't think you need to bring it up. But I think if it comes up and you have concerns about that as a topic, or you have somebody who's trying to shut it down. I don't love the term agree to disagree, probably because I've had it used against me too often. And so I think that just articulating, I understand this conversation makes some people uncomfortable, but when you say agree to disagree, I feel silenced. And I don't think anybody here wants to feel silenced.
And if you're a person who genuinely does not want to talk about this in any space, maybe it's not your thing, right? Maybe you keep up with the news because you want to be an informed citizen, but you don't love talking about politics. My husband is like that. You know, you could say to someone, what's your goal in throwing this out here? What are you hoping to happen? Could we speed that process up? We always advocate for political conversation because we do think that's where real change happens. But it is okay to have a day when you leave it behind, especially if not everyone's up for it. You know, people should consent to be in that discussion. And if they don't, then I think finding another avenue for everybody to have a good conversation is really important.
So you two started your podcast with this idea that you hold opposing political perspectives on a lot of things. And I know that has changed over the years, but I think what stayed the same is that every episode holds space for various opinions if they exist and having just hard, nuanced conversations. So why is that so important to you? You know, whether it's the holidays or just an average day.
We don't think anybody has a monopoly on all the right answers, including ourselves. We want to stay curious. We always want to be learning. We want to understand other people better. And more than anything, I think we both really want to walk through the world as contributors instead of consumers. That's a big theme of our book. It would be easy to do a show where we're each giving something a thumbs up or a thumbs down, and maybe those conflict and maybe that's exciting. But it's more important to us to say, what's going on around this issue? And is there something for me to contribute to it? And if there's not, where is my place to contribute? And how can I better understand the contributions other people might be making and support those?
Your book is called Now What? So the next time we ask ourselves that, as some of the examples you've given, like the election is over, now what? Or I got in a fight with a loved one at Thanksgiving, now what? How do you recommend that we answer that and move forward?
Well, I think we should take the pressure off ourselves because there's not one answer. It's what is your work to do, and it's going to be very different from someone else's. And the answer might be, well, on this particular thing, this is not my work to do. You know, it will depend on who you're talking about and where you live and what the issue is. And I think easing the pressure to believe that there's always going to be one answer to that we all have to agree on and work towards goes a long way in easing some of our anxiety when we do feel like we're in those crossroads of like, okay, well, now what do we do?
Final thought from each of you about navigating politics around the holidays and around family members you may disagree with.
As a person who really loves politics, I'm never the one who's like, oh, we can't talk about that here. I love politics and I find the work of democracy endlessly fascinating. And understanding our fellow citizens is increasingly important in the work of our democracy. And for a lot of reasons, we are increasingly siloed, right? We live and work and socialize with people who agree with us. And so the holidays offers this moment where we can be around people who see the world very differently than us. And it's a learning opportunity. It's an opportunity to try to understand a different point of view in a new, a little bit emotionally fraught setting. I always learn something from my family members, even the ones I passionately disagree with.
I think especially at the holidays, I'm always just trying to ask myself, how can I be more generous than I feel capable of? And most of the time for me, being more generous than I feel capable of means looking at this person as a whole, complete person, not as a stand-in for a group of ideas. Even if that person is talking like they're a stand-in for a group of ideas, you know, just trying to see who is this and when have they loved me well? And what does loving them well in this particular moment look like for me?
Well, thank you again to my friends Sarah Stewart Holland and Beth Silvers for joining us here on The Newsworthy. Be sure to check out their podcast, Pantsuit Politics, and get their latest book, Now What? How to Move Forward When We're Divided About Basically Everything. That'll do it for us today. If you are new to the show, hit that follow button in your podcast app so you can remember to give our weekday episodes a try. We bring you the news in our signature fast, fair, fun style as 10-minute roundups every Monday through Friday. All right, we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.
sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.